For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I've said nothing. Just going to let it lie. Let's just see how he does week two. I'm actually surprised, Curtis. I think you and I both are that it actually happened, that the day came. He actually cracked the mic and did it. I give him some credit for that. It probably was not easy. He was getting roasted on social media, so I don't know if he is on there these days.
But I feel like you think like this is so meaningful. Like, who cares?
A lot of people seem to care, and you pointed out it was the highest-rated game in America, so a lot of people watched. And
right,
had
but
a,
like
that
he's not.
It.
Did anybody think he was going to be great from week one?
No, you thought he would be good, and nobody would miss him, Olsen, and
well, nobody did miss Olsen.
I mean, look, I think Olsen's pretty good. And
okay, if we played Olsen sound for 100 people in our listening audience, how many would immediately recognize his voice?
If we played Olsen sound against Brady sound,
no, I'm just asking.
Who would say?
Just say Olsen talking, that they would recognize his voice.
Nobody recognizes
the only reason anybody likes Olsen is because it's a way to demean Brady. That's it.
It's not true.
Of course it is.
I praised Olsen in the last couple of years when it was not related to Brady. I thought he was good.
Okay, what did he do well?
He won my broadcasting awards. I give out awards every year.
That's kind of a dark thing on his resume.
Quick aside, the response to your top 10 Boston College prediction. We have Pump the Brakes. We have an easy Curtis. We have a... Yeah, back to reality today, settle down on BC, Stonehill.
Talking about
Duquesne.
My sex life in a very inflammatory way.
Do you want to pull that back, that top 10 BC prediction?
Okay, what happens if BC wins today?
Oh, you just mean if they win today, they go top 10.
Right.
And you're predicting a win?
I haven't given my 5-star play of the day yet. You can't bet in Boston, unfortunately.
This looks like a pretty good Missouri team. You would admit that.
Basically, if BC wins today, they're better than Ohio State because Mizzou beat Ohio State in the bowl.
And they haven't allowed a point in 2 weeks?
That's right.
They have like their top 4 receivers back, and they can actually throw it. BC can't
throw
it.
And you know why I hate Mizzou? They're like a JV Syracuse. They're a bunch of crappy journalism students.
Okay.
Big game for Seth Wickersham, Mizzou guy.
Hey, I hope it happens. You've got people.
When does Northeastern play today?
If Northeastern were playing, they would be playing well because Don Brown, when I was there, had that
right.
one powerhouse.
It's not easy, huh? You got rid of the football team when the going got tough.
Well, we cared about other sports. You know, it's back-to-back beanpot titles.
Right. When was the last Frozen Four for the Northeastern Huskies?
A couple years ago.
Oh, really? I don't think they've ever been.
No, they were there. You missed it.
Oh, okay. I mean, you focus on one sport, you should be pretty good at it.
I'm on your side. Look, God.
I mean, I would hope that you'd be good at one sport. I mean, you put all your money into it. Did you see the NIL thing? I want to give Bill Belichick some credit. So Stevens at Washington, defensive coordinator out there. And I guess, I don't know whether this is just Washington. It's probably one of many big schools. Dan Shaughnessy had this in his Friday column.
I saw that.
Where if you want to get dinner with Bill Belichick, it's $25,000 and all the money goes to the NIL pool.
It's awesome.
What a great idea.
It's actually a very good idea. Like, could the BC replicate it with Matt Ryan or something like that? Or, I could see that taking off around. Maybe it already has. Maybe that's done at every program.
Right. I'm sure.
I mean, you had private watching experience with Bill and Steven, didn't you?
I did.
Or just Steven O'Brien?
No, it was the whole family.
It was the whole
family.
Debbie
picked us up in Weston. We all my Carl, Jordan, myself went to the game.
How much money for that?
I think my dad and Mr. Benson, it was like $400.
No, but you had to bid on it, right? It was a significant package.
It was a silent auction, or maybe a real auction at Rivers in the spring of 2001. So it was the end of my junior year.
I mean, that money went to pay a player at the time. You just didn't know it.
Right. It was Ken Walter.
Okay, well, great. You were part of the machine.
I mean,
so now we just beef that up.
But that wasn't for college. That was the NFL.
I get it.
Anyway, I would say this. I am incredibly optimistic about the Patriots. I think in a sort of long view, this was always a bridge year. It's clear that they want Brissett to go as long as he can to give Drake May as much time. But
well, not really. They're giving 30% of reps.
I love that. I think that is so good. Jacoby Brissett probably could use the time off. Gives Drake May something to build on each week. It feels like you're building something while also trying your best to win on Sunday. And I loved the reply from Gerard Mayo when he was asked by Mike Reese about the Evan Washburn report. And he's like, yep, that's what we're doing. Such a breath of fresh air.
He really is. I mean, he's just open about everything. Game plan. He'll give you the whole game plan for the weekend.
The only thing he won't talk about is Bill.
And he pivoted off that one. You asked him that directly on Monday.
Yeah.
But now do you blame Mayo for not talking about Bill?
No, I actually heard Bert Breer report that he hasn't heard from Bill once.
Mayo hasn't?
No.
Yeah. And your question was, did Bill text you after the game? And he right. said, I'm not going
to get
it. Well,
I tried to use the game ball as a means of getting into that question. But
nice try, as Wick once told you.
Yep.
But I think Mayo's done a great job. But so to get back to the quarterback thing, the only negative potentially of getting 30% of the reps to Drake May is if it pisses off Jacoby or the leaders on the team, if they feel it's not necessary. But you kind of need a backup to be ready anyway. So I don't really know what they would be pissed about. I guess if you lose a game and you feel like Brissett didn't have enough reps to get ready for it, then it could become something.
The reason why last Sunday was so important has nothing to do with this team being in contention for anything this year. It has everything to... I mean, they might.
Even with Miami
Listen,
and Tua?
That would be a great outcome. But why last Sunday was so important is it's really hard to do what Gerard Mayo is attempting to do. I would say new head coaches have, a 90% fail rate within 5 years? They're out of the job. Mm-hmm. So what is most essential is first impression, is buy-in, is a feeling like you're moving this car, which is one of the slowest cars of the 32 in the NFL, maybe second slowest to the Panthers in terms of weaponry and talent and pickup and all that. And you got that win on the road. You started Jacoby Brissett, which was a question mark. He didn't win the competition over the summer. Got the job. Everybody, when I was off, was having this, ooh, what a clunky move by Mayo, this press conference. Bill Belichick would have never done that. Oh, yeah, except for the fact that he created a controversy out of thin air with Bailey Zappi and Mac Jones. So what you got on Sunday was Brissett playing well enough to win, the Gatorade bath, and the 4th-and-2 by Jonathan Jones all coalesce into, we don't know how far this train can go. We don't know what the destination ultimately will be this year, but they're going in the same direction. And the 30%, I guarantee you, if the Patriots lost on Sunday and Evan Washburn had that report that Drake May was getting 30% of the snaps, Greg, all the old guard people would have been attacking Mayo saying, this is what happens. am I right?
Mm-hmm, if they had lost the game.
Right? It would have been a total negative.
Yep.
And it would have been building, trying to fight back against the public about why you're not playing Drake May. Instead, Gerard Mayo gets a longer runway to establish his way, and you have that win where if you win Sunday, tomorrow, you are halfway to last year's win total with 15 games to go.
With some teams that don't look as intimidating on your schedule now, i.e. Miami, with Skylar Thompson or whoever it is coming in here week 5, it looked like a murderer's row, maybe not so much. Christian McCaffrey's out.
Right. Think of it this way. Let's say Mo Lewis Hitz comes in week 14 of the 2001 season, another lost year. Maybe it's not enough to save Bill's job. It's all about when you get these wins, the buy-in that you have, and the fact that the defense and the way Jelani Tavai told us yesterday, the way Godshall talked after the game, the way Brissett speaks, the way everybody up and down, David Andrews, there is just this feeling that they're fighting for Gerard Mayo because
Timing is right.
Of all the things that were discussed in the summer in the training camp, I would say the coverage of Mayo was 80% negative.
I don't know about 80%, but he definitely took his lumps, and I thought deservedly so. There was some mixed messaging there, but he's done a good job. I think the Brissett decision turned out to be a good one. I don't think they win that one without him. And tomorrow, I think you're going to have a fan base that's pretty energized. You said you know it was as enjoyable of a game as a fan for you. Maybe in 20 years, that might be a little extreme.
I mean, can you believe another coach was able to coach the special teams?
Because it's not going to be, won't be Brady running out of the tunnel. There were a lot of those games you take for granted. The atmosphere was already built in. But tomorrow's different, right? It's a home game. and you feel like they've turned a corner with genuine optimism.
Every day I do my laps around Castle Island, and there's a group of guys in their 50s, I think, on the low end, but I don't know. So a bunch of, you know, old school Southie guys who listen to this radio station, who are dyed-in-the-wool, diehard, lifelong season ticket holders before Brady, before everybody. They've been there since the beginning, and they mean it. And there was just this sort of frustration all summer about missing Bill. They missed Bill. They were wondering what the hell the ship was going, what the direction was, and I think they spoke for a lot of Patriots fans. And they still do. They still miss Bill. But the sentiment entering tomorrow when I saw a couple of the guys yesterday was like, it's just, I'm so happy. They love the 1 o'clock games. And they're like, we got all 1 o'clock games at home. And they
love the 1 o'clock games.
Well, because it's
anti-prime time.
You're home and you can, you know, have a life. But no, there is a real feeling that is 180 degrees from where it was a week ago. And it's not every day in this business that you get to feel that at the start of a season, the start of a new era, that it was able to start in that way. And the way they closed that game out on offense, that those
huge
runs by
just think of the fourth quarter period. It was, you had kind of a, you could say like a fluky start if you're a Bengals fan, turnovers or whatever, but it's 13-7 in the fourth quarter, and you grinded that win out on the road against Joe Burrow. Burrow had a chance to win it. He couldn't do it. They punted with 3 minutes to go.
And there were two sneaky plays that benefited the Patriots that had nothing to do with them. Or, well, nothing to do with the initial intent. The throw by Brissett that was broken up by Hunter Henry. Mm-hmm. Actually, let's go three. The Brissett throw that should have been picked, but Hunter Henry had a great play. The three and out after the half where you got the Cardona forced fumble.
Yep.
And the gritty by Gesicki that was for naught. Those were the big plays of the game in terms of just, you know, not luck, but they benefited from failures and they capitalized.
Well, yeah, but and you're right, too. Just the last drive. The fact that Ramondre is ripping out first down runs 2 minutes to go to ice the game. That
I mean,
awesome.
Everything we heard about this offensive line, I mean, I guess
right.
It's all
Michael
about expectations.
Michael Jordan and Laydon Robinson played every snap at guard, and you won the game with a dominant running performance.
Unbelievable. The leading rusher, I think, in the NFL in week Let's one.
See. Yeah, there you go. All right, we didn't even get to Brady. So Brady is a sidebar to the Patriots tomorrow. Do you think the Pats go 2-0? Do you think Brady comes back? We'll get into that a little bit. There were some stories about this in the last 24 hours, but mostly generated by Wiggy's conversation about it on the show yesterday.
The Greg Hill Show's tentacles are all over the nation.
And Brady did talk on his YouTube show about his broadcasting performance.
Right.
So we'll play that for you. But here's Coe with What's Trending.
Now, here's What's Trending on WEEI.
Red Sox fell to the Yankees last night, 5-4 the final from the Bronx. Sox entered the seventh inning with a 4-0 lead until Aaron Judge did this.
Pitch. High drive, deep left field, forget about it. A slam for Judge, and the Yankees lead it 5-4.
Sox now sit 4.5 games back of the Twins for the final wild card spot with just 14 games left. They'll be back in action this afternoon when Brian Baio takes the mound opposite Garrett Cole. Our coverage of that game starts at 12:05 with Joe Weil on the Mass Mutual pregame show. Then Joe Castiglione and Will Fleming will have the call of the game on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, perfecting the art of fresh. First pitch set for 1:05. Patriots getting ready for their Week 2 matchup at Gillette tomorrow afternoon against the Seattle Seahawks. Pats have already ruled out guard City So with an ankle injury, while safety Kyle Duggar, defensive end Dietrich Wise, running back J. Michael Hasty, and guard Leighton Robinson are questionable. Seahawks will be without linebacker Uchenna Nwosu and tight end Pharaoh Brown, while star running back Kenneth Walker is listed as doubtful. And under other NFL news, the 49ers have ruled out their star running back Christian McCaffrey for their Week 2 matchup with a calf injury. Finally, the 24th-ranked Boston College Eagles are in action this afternoon, heading down south for a top 25 matchup against 6th-ranked Mizzou. Kickoff set for 12:45. You can hear our coverage of that game on WEEI 850 AM. Pregame starting at 12:15. My name is Zach Coe. That's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bonus summer week. Football is back, but God, San Diego weather here. What have you done, weatherman, for the region? This is an unbelievable string we're in the midst of here.
Imagine thinking we could change the weather and that we want to make it cooler.
Roundabout, Greg's up to Winnipesaukee. Back in time for the Gillette performance Monday morning, though. Greg Hill Show on location. Great new set down at Foxborough for us on Patriots Monday. So love that. Love seeing Gerard in person, live and in person with you guys.
That is an great early Monday, but worth it.
Worth it, indeed. Boomer Esiason back this year. He is great every week, and we're rocking and rolling. So loving that. And
the Brady cut, it's like a 30-minute episode. I've just found it, but I'll have to get it for the next segment.
Is Brady reacting to his week?
He's sitting on the plane, and he is flying back to Miami. He hates the weather. He said, I spent 25 years of my life in Michigan and New England with the weather like it was in Cleveland that day with the rain. He's like, every time I get back to Miami, I just take a deep breath. So,
I'm stunned he's doing it at all. I don't think he's in this for the long haul.
He's just doing it for 1 year.
He'll find an exit one way or the other.
It'll be the end of this year. He'll officially join the Raiders ownership. Greg, he'll do the Super Bowl because he wants to call a Super Bowl. So he's doing this season. He'll call the Super Bowl in New Orleans where he began his Super Bowl run. And then he'll go back to the Raiders.
But why not pivot after 1 week and just go back to play? He wants to play. He should still be playing. I don't know about now, but at least last year he should have been. He retired too soon.
The video that they posted was obviously before the Tua injury, but he talks about how grateful he is that he's not playing anymore. He's like, this weather looked awful. I didn't want to get hit, all of that stuff. I heard a cut I was also grabbing from Herm Edwards, who was asked about will the Dolphins call Tom Brady. And he said, look at Brady's last year in Tampa, how fidgety he was in the pocket. He's like, as you get older, you feel everything more. And that Tom's greatness was that he would stand in and get hit, and that you reach a point where you don't want to get hit anymore. But I have to say, I was with you forever in that, or I was on this side forever against you, that there's no way he comes back. But Wiggy got me yesterday in that.
Well, it's not crazy.
It's not really crazy.
Brady in April of this year said about coming back, quote, I'm not opposed to it. I don't know if they're going to let me if I become the owner of an NFL team, but I don't know. I'm always going to be in good shape. I'll always be able to throw the ball. So to come in for a little bit like MJ coming back, I don't know if they'd let me, but I wouldn't be opposed to it, end quote. I mean, that says it all. That's less than 6 months ago. He is open to coming back. And especially if Tua comes back in a few weeks, I mean, that would be weird. I guess if Brady comes back, he'd be the starter the rest of the year. But there might be some.
There's no way Tua comes back. I'm sorry.
Really?
There is this season?
Well, he came back.
Oh, my God.
He was concussion free last year. It's a tough call. It really is for him. He had two.
We're in an age where everything's political. Like, ESPN found a way to make the Tua situation political, which just was shocking to me. One of the strangest comments from Elle Duncan I have ever seen in any capacity, talking about her C-sections and what in the world? We have all become dumber. Like, just take everything for what it is, right? Tua has had three massive concussions. We all know now, because of Dr. Nowitzki and other people, Chris Nowitzki and others, that it is a progressive issue, meaning they are progressively worse. So this concussion will be more damaging than the last concussion. His next concussion, God forbid he gets, will be worse than the one he just had. It is against all reason for Tua to ever play football again. And if he does, obviously it's his choice. He's in charge. But it's not political, and it doesn't mean you're a bad person if you want him to be able to play. I just don't know how anybody in his – I think he's a father – well, he's got his parents, he's got family and friends.
Different sport, but Sidney Crosby missed like 100 games with a concussion in 2011, and he's come back to play 12 years in the league. I mean, he took a couple serious ones and was out for a long time, came back, and do you think he regrets it? I mean, he got 10 more years of a career out of it. He seems to be doing fine. I mean,
As I said, I'm not a doctor. I don't know specific cases of each one. All I'm going on is what I have been told. Do you think Mark Savard wishes he played more?
I mean, he probably misses the game. I think his was like a no doubter, right?
How is Tua's not a no doubter?
Yeah.
The fencing, it's just, anyway, as I said, I'm not a doctor.
What's weird about the Tua hits, like, this was the first one where it was actually running. He was just in the couple years ago, he just took him in the pocket, and it was just kind of harmless.
I don't care how it happens. All I'm saying is that it's happened over and over again, and he is a smart, good-looking guy who has a whole life ahead of him, and the stupid game of football, I think, should be in his past.
Well, Brady has them, too. I mean, as we know full well, Giselle wanted him to quit for undiagnosed concussions. Okay. Now, she's out of his life. But
can you compare these at all? I don't understand.
Well, I mean, Brady risks coming back. He's had multiple concussions, same as Tua. If he comes back, it would be putting his health on the line again. So he'd have to be willing to do that. It's kind of the same thing.
I don't think he has had several concussions the way Tua has. I don't. Maybe I'm wrong. I have no idea. Have you ever seen Tom react the way Tua has in any of his?
Not like that. Not with the... So on field, but I'm just going off what Giselle said. I'm assuming she knew.
No, she just wanted him to stop playing.
What a texter points out, keep in mind Brady was going through divorces last year in Tampa, could have contributed to him quitting. He might regret quitting that as early as he did.
In order for me to get to where I am today, there would have had to have been relative unforeseen situation occur, which is Tom is divorced, living in Miami as a single guy.
Yep.
The Dolphins quarterback is out for a period of time.
Correct.
The Dolphins roster is Super Bowl ready.
Tyreek is inspired by the local law enforcement and their training.
Stephen Ross is Tom Brady wants to remove any doubt about the Donald Trump hat, so he's going to join Tyreek Hill and endorse Kamala. And you are going to have,
And here's a quote from Brady about the Dolphins. He says, quote, this was 2023 last year. Not that I'm affiliated with a team anymore, and even though I have strong ties with a couple teams, I do have some friends on the Dolphins that I really like, said Brady. So I wouldn't necessarily root for them all the time, but I root for my friends to do well, and several of them play for Miami.
Yeah.
Just makes sense.
But we all know, if not for Bill Belichick's inaccurate text to Brian Flores, I'm telling you,
yeah,
Tom would have been a Dolphin.
Absolutely. Dolphins wanted him.
Is that guy still there? The guy that son's name is Brady? He's like the co-owner behind Stephen Ross?
I forget that guy's name.
It's like Wheel something.
And if you want to
push
this over the edge, former NFL quarterback Duck Hodges has predicted that it's going to happen.
Oh, let's get breaking news.
If you Google Tom Brady Dolphins, Wiggy comes up and Duck Hodges comes up. So I don't know which is more or less
Bruce
credible.
Bruce Beal is still in the front office. He is vice chairman and partner of the Dolphins.
I mean, so... Look at all the evidence, the reasons why. Number one, it gets him out of the broadcast booth.
Fergie is a partner. I mean, Fergie Ferg, Venus Williams, Serena Williams, Mark Anthony. What a losing star bleeper Stephen Ross is. What a front office. Serena and Venus Williams, Fergie, Mark Anthony. What in the world?
Maybe one day I will be an owner and I can make all the decisions that I want.
Yeah, well, he's not an owner yet, right?
See who a new owner is? Hawk Tua.
Well, geez. How about Francesa ripping her? Called her sleazy.
Can anybody just effing retire? Like,
no.
Francesa's doing
Francesa
that.
And Brady.
Bob Ryan's still in the Globe. John Sloss is doing playoff games for the Yankees.
Should Brady come back to the Dolphins? 617-779-7937. I want some Brady calls. Should he come back? Can he still play?
Do you want him to come back?
Yes. Here? Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, God, it'll save us from the broadcast booth experience. Not that we're watching or it matters. Apparently now it doesn't matter. If Brady was great, as texter points out, you'd have been all over how good he was in the broadcast booth. Now that he was terrible.
I mean, I don't know how you don't understand that it's a results-based industry. The ratings were up 50%.
Okay, but sometimes ratings for the debut of something are good, like a TV show or whatever.
Oh, so you think people will tune out the NFL now?
I think the ratings will not be like they were last week.
So you think they'll be down versus Greg Olsen in week two?
Yep, significantly down.
Okay, we'll see.
Now, if he comes back and plays the Patriots twice, makes his return in week five, that would be something. Come on. Don't you think Brady is intrigued by that, too? He doesn't hate Kraft anymore. Or maybe he never did. I don't know. But there is something about his ego that would love coming back and playing against the Pats.
It's 90-plus minutes into this award-winning show, and we haven't explained the only reason there's a chance he comes back. Patrick Mahomes.
Ooh.
That's the only reason that this is even up for grabs. If the 49ers win last year, we're not talking about it.
Do the Dolphins play the Chiefs?
No, not in the regular season. But, I mean, what Tom sees is a guy that has a legitimate shot at seven Super Bowls. Whether he gets there, you know, it'll need a lot of... health and good fortune and some luck like Tom had, all of that. But Patrick Mahomes is everything Tom was off the field and more talented on it. Like, he's the right leader. He takes less. Isn't it amazing to you? I asked Boomer about this. Like, every, quote, rival and contemporary of Patrick Mahomes is getting paid out the ass. Like, from Daniel Jones to Jared Goff to Burrow and Herbert and Tua and Dak, all these guys, billions of dollars in money. Mm-hmm. And Patrick Mahomes is just going for a three-peat. Like, he could make $100 million a year and deserve it.
What would Brady sign for? Is there a money factor, or he would just come back for, like, because I don't know what the cap situation is.
I don't even know how it would work with the Raiders thing. I don't understand any of this stuff. But
Brady has to be just looking at Tyreek and Jaylen Waddle and thinking, I can make those guys, I can win with those guys every week. I mean, how could he not be enticed to come back and play for them?
I mean, here's the risk. Okay, it's big. He comes back and, as you said, gets seriously injured, which is not a great risk, but is a risk to go back on the field.
Okay, I agree.
He sucks. He's not good anymore.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. I mean, Brady, nobody would hold that against him, right? It'd be like MJ. He referenced that in the quote. Nobody would certainly wouldn't tarnish his legacy in any sense. He tried to come back.
It wouldn't tarnish it long term. You're right. I mean, Tom is, with Jordan as the greatest winners of the last 50 years in American team sports.
He probably doesn't want to look bad. I agree with that.
Right, but he doesn't. Look at him. He's had more work on his face than Joan Rivers.
And I don't think it's possible for him to be bad there. Not horribly bad. I mean, he could be average, and maybe that'll suck for him, but
Here's what I believe. What Tom said to Jerry years ago, that when I suck, I'll retire. And I think one element of that is the rest of the league kind of sucks. Like, it's Mahomes and the Chiefs, and, the Niners are really talented, but do you think Tom Brady views Brock Purdy as a guy that's threatening to him?
No.
I mean, look at the quarterbacks that are on good teams right now. You have Stafford, who the Rams are ant. They lost Aaron Donald, not that great. Joe Burrow's shaking his wrist every 5 seconds. He's more injury-prone than Jimmy Garoppolo, it seems. I mean, it's not exactly this fertile, area of land of great quarterbacks across the NFL. And for Tom to come back and challenge Mahomes, because if he stops him at 47, doesn't that stop any comparison again?
And Guerrero needs it work. I mean, get him back out of the, dust him off.
Guerrero's
back out
on
there.
The Raiders right now.
Oh, is he?
He's on their payroll,
yeah. He quit there instantly. Do the Bucs have his rights or no?
Nope. He was his contract expired.
I mean, I am with you. I am all in on this. I think he should. I mean, I guess he's not based on this quote. He seems to be focused on the broadcasting. But if indeed this just keeps getting worse, he'll get a little better at the broadcasting. It's just something about the voice is not connecting right now.
It's just
he's not going to be great.
He's
at
not going. He's too worried about what people think about him, which is the thing that you have to care about least to be good on the media. In the media,
I mean, even if he's bad with the Dolphins, he'll be much better than he is at broadcast.
Here's how, what Tom miscalculated with this is that he's not going to be great. He's not good. He was so clunky. It was really rough. They kept trying to set him up, and he's like, they're like, don't you think TB? It's like, who's ever called him TB? It was so bad. It was like an SNL skit that wouldn't end. And you have like,
go on.
And Aaron Andrews is on the field, and he's like, right, and then there's just like no air, and then that loser, that cuck Hansen on the stupid Red Zone show, he's apologizing. The guy's lining up for a 72-yard field goal, and Tom's talking about it like it's an extra point. Of course you should have more energy. Like, the whole thing, but what Tom was great at.
Did it make you uneasy? This is the first I've heard you, an honest admission, that you were uneasy last week.
I wasn't uneasy. It just wasn't good.
Okay, thank you. I'm glad you can admit that.
He sucked. It was an awful broadcast.
Oh, God. Good.
Right?
Good.
But the only things that mattered was that people watched. Like, if we brought in William Hung and he sang the anthem and people listened to it, it doesn't matter.
He was good. He was legitimately good.
I mean, unlike you, he bangs. But what Tom was able to do as a player,
yes,
was lean on the negative thought to never get too high, to never allow himself to,
have passion. He had passion.
No. He never allowed other people. He always found people's negative comments to fuel him to reach heights unforeseen. Mm-hmm. As a broadcaster, he has to lean on something he doesn't have, which is a desire to insult people that he played with.
Yeah, that's what he said. He's got to channel the roast.
But that's, even on the roast, he was uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I mean, and so I...
You should have some writers. Get the roast writers in there.
But it's even if, like, I've watched football my whole life. Maybe he hasn't. Maybe that's another thing. He doesn't watch the broadcast of games because there's a clear thing.
Yeah.
Kevin Burkhardt says, you know, Dak Prescott finds CeeDee Lamb for 17 yards. And then there's this pause where the analyst would say, yeah, he saw single man coverage there. You know, it was a whatever. There was a linebacker blitz that was picked up because Dak was able to, you know, to diagnose it pre-snap. Here's what you saw. And what Tom gave you was just like there were these like dead air. It was awkward.
413 texter, Finn's offense is loaded. Tom would have to throw the ball 5 yards. So true. He could go in there and carve it up. I don't know about beating Mahomes, but Mahomes would be scared about that. That would definitely, I mean, God, if Skylar Thompson's the only. I mean, the other option, Andy Hart was speculating Mac Jones gets traded there.
I mean, everybody was speculating that.
Okay. I give Andy credit. He was first I heard.
We talked about it Monday morning or the next morning. We talked about it. That was literally Greg's lead. He said they should trade Mac to the Dolphins.
I apologize to Greg. Missed that. There's a lot of options, but Brady is the best. 617-779-7937. That being said, around these parts, it's Jacoby Brissett. With Drake May getting 30% of the reps, does the 30% rep in practice mean Drake May has a return date or a start date? Or is this just to get a backup ready? I want to expand on that a little bit next. The old 70-30 split. So Jerod Mayo talking there at his media avail, and then yesterday we had our first crack at the coordinators on WEI with Alex Van Pelt joining Jones and Keefe in the midday.
I call him AVP.
Yeah, and AVP said this: he's never had this situation before. He just admitted that he's never done this before where they had two starters really getting sharing the reps. Not really two starters, but you get the point. So even Jerod there, when you listen to him, Curtis, he's talking about there's a challenge here of the main guy not being ready to go week to week. So is this a smart move, and are they doing this because they have week five in mind?
I do not believe there is a specific week in mind. I think that the fact that, if you remember back in preseason, Jerod Mayo made comments to the effect of they didn't know if Drake May would be the backup. That at that stage, it was Bailey Zappe or someone else. And I think that that was another honest admission where they were unsure of Drake May's ability to step in should the starter get hurt and maintain control of the offense. So there was a hit. The last two times I saw Jacoby Brissett, he took some pretty big hits. He took a couple big hits against the Bengals. He had that hit that we thought injured his shoulder against the Commanders.
He stood in there and took a couple licks. You are right.
Sure did.
To his credit.
So would it be shocking to you if somebody on the Seahawks breaks free and, you know, knocks him out for a quarter or two or a game or two on tomorrow? So
no.
I think this is the only way. If you're going to have Drake May be your backup, you could say that the team is wrong, that you should have Drake May nowhere near the field until he's ready. But for the current constitution of their roster, then I think this is the only way to do it because it could be tomorrow, it could be in 3 weeks, but there is the decent chance that Jacoby Brissett is out. And you need a guy that understands the offense with the number ones and gets his opportunity.
That makes total sense. You're right. However, what if Brissett just doesn't get hurt? What if he's like Stallone in Rocky IV? He's a piece of iron.
So do you sit back at the end of every year and go, man, I wish I didn't have insurance?
No.
So then,
it's part of life, but at some point,
I mean,
you don't think...
I mean, you needed it with those random trees falling on your car.
Twice.
It's almost too convenient, it seems.
You know, I got a souped-up hybrid right now, so it paid off for
I'm
me.
I'm going to call Arabella.
But if your development plan is to get May ready to play this year, and you get into the midpoint of the year and there's no spot for him to play and you're kind of out of it, I mean, there has to be a point where they're just going to pull the trigger, don't you think, and make the move? I don't see Brissett playing all year. That seems strange.
No. What's more exciting, Brissett or Drake May or Story's return to the Bronx?
Hey, Story's playing well. He could be your shortstop of the future.
I just don't know. Wouldn't this is the most diplomatic approach you could possibly take. Brissett's getting 70%. He could probably use the rest. He's run the offense before in Cleveland. Drake May is a young up-and-comer. If they were splitting reps, that would be a sign that Jacoby Brissett's being disrespected. I don't know. I find it hard to rip. What's the downside?
I'm not ripping it. I'm thinking fans are going to want more. They're going to want this as a sign that he's...
Fans don't give an S if they win tomorrow. Who cares?
Well, they're not going to win every week. They're going to lose a couple. And Brissett invariably and the offense are going to struggle.
So you think if they're 2-2 through four games...
People will call for Drake May.
You really think that?
I think so. I think people are going to want some pizzazz on offense. As much as they liked Ramondre Stevenson and grinding the game out, you're going to want to see Javon Baker go deep and Drake throwing him the ball. And you yourself came away, I think one of your takeaways Monday was KJ Osborne underwhelming.
God, does he suck.
I mean, he's fine. He's okay.
What's fine?
He's like a possession receiver. He's like a poor man's Pop Douglas, whatever it is. So,
poor man's Pop Douglas who was a poor man's guy anyway?
Right.
A destitute Pop Douglas?
Well, that's the point. At some point, you're going to want to see some spark.
Have it on offense. It's not the quarterback's fault.
Well, Drake could provide something for this offense that they don't currently have.
So Osborne will turn into Jerry Rice?
No, you play Baker and you... actually he could if Drake gets out of the pocket and makes plays break down and he's more Josh Allen.
Yeah, I don't even think...
So you think fans are going to be patient with Brissett all year as long as they hang in there?
Of course.
Really?
Why? Does anybody in our listening audience think this team is a contender to win the division?
I mean, with Miami's quarterbacks hurt, the Jets lost.
You can answer it yes or no. Does anybody really think this team is winning the division?
No, the Bills are commanding.
Okay, thank you. That's it.
But they beat the Bills last year. Even Bill beat the Bills.
Okay, what was the last time they beat a team like that on the road?
That was a big win. Their wins last year were all at home?
Well, no. They beat the Steelers, who stink.
No, they beat the Steelers on the road.
They beat the Broncos, who stink on the road. But, right. I mean, the last time the Patriots were over 500 was December of 2022, when they had that awful win against the Cardinals.
I mean, just the fact that they're throwing you 30% reps already after a win leads me to think they have a plan. They have a plan for week five.
And why was he so steadfast when Wiggy was talking to him on Monday? He doesn't strike me as a guy that just lies for fun.
I think they don't want to tip their hand too soon. They want the first 4 weeks to be Jacoby's, and then they're ready to make the switch. Because they know deep down the offense has to be better than that.
I think they're going to be 3-1 after four games.
Oh. So they beat the Jets.
I think the Jets struggle on Sunday tomorrow against the Titans.
So 3-0. You're calling for 3-0.
They could be.
Oh.
There's no way they beat the 49ers. I mean, that team is a wagon. No. But
if that's the case, then everything changes, I guess. Maybe that's part of their thinking, too. If we somehow get to 3-0 with Jacoby, then we switch the plan. The development plan switches.
I think the plan changed already.
Maybe it did. 617-779-7937. What should be the plan with the QBs? Is it Jacoby's team all year? Unless they crumble, it's Kenny Curtis.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.